All right, turn with us to the book of John. Again, John chapter number 1. We're going to read through this and we'll review for a minute. John chapter number 1. Try not to be too long. John chapter number 1. Starting to verse number 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Excuse me. Do you know that they've recently found out now when the male seed and the female seed comes together that there's a spark of light? Do you know, have you seen that? They have figured out that when the male seed and the woman's seed comes together, there is an actual spark of life. John knew that because God told him all them years ago. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, capital L, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. My Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us this morning as we preach the Word of God. I pray that it would convict souls, bring some lost sinner to that place of repentance, that place of salvation, God. And I just pray that you would do a wonderful work. Let us be encouraged, helped this morning, be with those I know that wanted to be here and couldn't be. I pray that you would do a work in the hearts of those, Lord, that know they should have been, Lord, and just came up with some excuse, God, of forsaking the assembly. And God, I just want to see this place grow. I want to see souls saved, God. I want to see this baptistry, Lord, we're getting, Lord, get a good workout right from the start. And I just pray that you would do great and mighty things here on the cross. And may you get all the glory and praise. Help us now this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here in the beginning of this, we went over last week the statement, who he is. Who he is. They're talking about Jesus. Number one, he is God. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why we believe and know that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, because verse number 1 tells us the Word was God. Verse number 14 tells us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we know that Jesus was God in the flesh. We went through that and talked about it. Jesus is the Word of God, and it's very important, capital W, because all the way back in Genesis, when God speaks, God the Father speaks, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit moves upon the face of the deep, and whatever it was that God the Father spoke, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit moved. And so we see all three of them. That's why it's very important that we understand that Jesus is the Word of God. And so God is one person. We don't believe in three gods. We believe in one God manifest in three different personalities, distinct personalities, each having their own responsibilities and each being just as much God as the other. And so there is just one God. We don't believe in these things that these others say. We believe in one God manifest in three ways. Just as you are three parts in yourself, you are flesh, soul, and spirit each one representing a personality of God. And so those things. And so we believe that Jesus is the Word of God. He is God. Jesus is also life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Without Jesus Christ in your life, you will not have life. You may think that you have life, but if you've never received Jesus Christ for salvation, if you've never put your faith and trust fully in Him, you do not have life. You'll never know what peace is, the peace of God which passes all understanding, until you put your faith and trust fully in Jesus Christ. Jesus is life. He's also the light. Listen, the reason that people don't like Jesus and don't like what He had to say, He didn't say nothing really, really hard. He didn't come to condemn them to hell. He said He came to bring life. But it's because the light of the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, casts that light on ours, our deeds. It shows forth our deeds and shows what we really are. Listen, you are nothing this morning outside Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The best that you can do, you can never earn your way into heaven. You can never buy your way into heaven. Without Jesus Christ, He's the one that bought our way into heaven through the shed blood. So Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Word of God, the spoken Word. Jesus is life, and Jesus is the light. And that's who He is. And you'll either take Him that way this morning, you'll receive Him and believe Jesus Christ is that, or you'll die and go to hell. Because if you can't believe that God is those things, you can't receive Jesus Christ for salvation. And you'll not be able to get into heaven any other way. Anybody else that tries to come any other way, Jesus said, is a thief and a robber. So those is what Jesus is this morning. Jesus is the Word of God, and that's who He is. Number two now, who bear witness? We know right here that God had sent forth a witness. John was that witness that God has sent forth to start off the bearing of witness. But all the Old Testament prophets bear witness of Him. But John specifically was set as the forerunner. Turn with us to Malachi chapter number 3. This is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 3. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye shall seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And so here he says in the book of Malachi, he lets you know, and there were several others we'll go through in just a second, but John was the witness that God sent forth. You know, and John and Jesus was less than around 6 months age difference. That's it. I don't know. I've looked at different things and tried to look it up. There's not an exact number not in the Bible and not anybody else that kind of agrees on exactly how long John's ministry actually was, or how long John was actually on the scene before Jesus came on the scene himself, because they were only 6 months difference. Some said only about 6 months. Some said he may have been even preaching up to 2 years before Jesus came on the scene. We don't really know. But John's sole purpose was to prepare the way of the Lord and prepare people's hearts. And listen, a lot of people, they'll take some of the things that John said and they'll twist them. They'll twist and try to make it okay to work salvation. Because he told the Pharisees, he said, bring therefore fruit meet for repentance. He wouldn't baptize them because they hadn't repented. People said, well, that means they had to work. No, what John's saying is, just like the book of James tells you, you show me your faith, and I'll show you my faith by my words. Don't tell me that you love God. Don't tell me that you're serving Him. If there's not something, fruit, meat for repentance, if there's not something in your life, don't tell me that you've accepted Jesus Christ for salvation, and you have never, God's not cleaned up your mouth, or God's not cleaned up what you put in your mouth, or God's not cleaned up what you do in your life. Don't tell me that you accepted Jesus Christ for salvation. By the way, before I forget, go a little bit further. I do move around, and if that scares any of you, I should have warned. I do get loud, and I do preach, and I'm over preaching this air conditioner this morning. I won't have to be as loud when we get situated here. But listen, If you have not brought forth fruit, meat for repentance, if there's not something in your life to say, this is what God changed my life, you've not received Jesus Christ for salvation. That's not what I said. That's what John preached, and John's words are in the Word of God. His words are right there in the Bible for you to know. When God changed my life in November of 2000, God turned a dirty mouth, a dirty mind, a lot of things. I already started drinking heavily about the time I was 18. And God took all that thought, God took all that cussing, dirty mouth, all those desires out of my heart. John came to bear witness, and he told those Pharisees, he said, you think you've got something, but you ain't got nothing. If you don't bring forth meat for repentance, he said, it don't matter how much law that you keep, if there's not been a time in your life that you repented of your sins, put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. John was that witness. Who bear witness? John bear witness. John, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 1. Who was he? John was only the beginning. John 1:37. Go to verse 37 here. John was only the beginning. Verse 37 here in John 1. He said, and two of his disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John had two of his disciples there. And he says, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And as soon as he did that, two of John's disciples knew. John himself bear witness. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. He said, I'm not the one that's come from heaven. He said, I'm just the witness. I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the path, the way. And so he said, he's got two of his disciples. And it'd be like somebody coming home and saying, I've got two followers, but listen, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. And so they left John and they said, we're going after the one. That's the way it was. John was only the beginning. He was the witness. He was the one to bear witness. But he's only the beginning. John started the bearing witness. So did the Old Testament prophets. But you know what? 2019, we're the ones that continue to bear the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, if you don't like to tell others, if you don't tell people, if you really are saved, you ought to be telling people. That woman at the well we talked about that had five husbands, Jesus dealt with her. Listen, the reason we try to deal with sin first is because that's what Jesus dealt with first. Amen. Every account, he dealt with sin first. If you don't deal with your sin problem, you are not saved by God's grace. Jesus dealt with her sin problem. He said unto her, he said, I'll give you living water. And she said, give me this living water. He said, go call your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, that was well said. You ain't got just one husband. You got five husbands. See, Jesus said, believe in the voice. Jesus said, believe in the voice. Now, listen, I'm not here to condemn you this morning. I'm not here to put you down. God will forgive you of that. But Jesus does not believe in the voice. And that verse right there tells him, he said, thou hast well spoken, because thou didn't have one, thou hast five husbands. And that woman said, I perceive thou art a prophet. Because he knew what her sin was. And that's what he dealt with first. And immediately after that woman put her faith and trust in Jesus, she goes back, and the Bible says she went into the city of the village and found the men. I believe she was going for those specific five men. If you really get saved by God's grace, you'll go back and you'll make amends with those people that you wronged. You'll make amends and you'll do things right, and you want to make things right, for God will burn in your heart. I know, because I've seen this woman right here. When she got saved, she wanted to go back to people that she had wronged through the years. When she got saved at 22 years old, she wanted to go back and try to make amends the best she could. She had done some bad things at a job one time. We stopped two or three times before she finally just left a note telling what God had done in her life and apologizing for what she had done at that place of business. That's what happens when you meet the Savior. You'll go back a different way. John was only the beginning. John was the witness. John was only the beginning. John was not him. Isaiah 40, verse number 3. Isaiah 40, verse number 3 says, Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a way for our God. And that's what he says. John says now in verse number 20, in John chapter 1, verse number 20, he says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. He said, and they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. They then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. We just quoted that. Isaiah 40, verse number 3, he says that. He quotes it. And then said, then they, which were sent of the Pharisees, they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ? You know, by their own words, they're being judged. They didn't say, you know, baptism's wrong. They didn't say that you shouldn't baptize. They said, but why do you baptize if you're not the Christ? Or Elias, neither that prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is. Listen, here's how, this is what God's chosen man that the Old Testament prophets wrote about John. And John is Jesus himself, not a greater among men, has risen than John the Baptist. You know what John tells us right here? He says in verse 27, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latch it. I am not worthy to unloose it. Listen, we're a bunch of prideful people when we think we can't humble ourselves down before an almighty God, a holy God. John said, he is spoken about in the Old Testament. God said he's the one who prepared the way. Jesus, he out of his own mouth, saying that there's not a greater risen among men than John the Baptist. And John said, I am not worthy to loosen the latch on his shoes. Who do you think you are if you can't humble yourself before an almighty God?
Amen.
You know what that is? That's pride. And you know what that is? It's a sin. Yeah. That's the same pride that casts Lucifer out of heaven. If you think that you're too good to humble yourself before the Almighty God, if you think you're too good to bow yourself before Him, that's pride. That's the same sin that casts Lucifer out of heaven.
That's right.
John said, I'm a nobody. I am an absolute nobody. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. That's John's words. Read right there in the Word of God. Not mine. People aren't many times. They don't like me. They don't mind you saying God a lot of times. And they don't mind a lot of these wrong versions and take out stuff. But they don't like it when you start mentioning the name Jesus. That's a specific God. They don't like that name because they know in them. It's written in them. The Bible makes a record of that. It's written in them. That they know that one of these days you're going to write this either on this earth, on this altar, or an altar at your house, wherever it may be, an altar on this earth. You'll either bow yourself before an almighty God, humble yourself, receive your salvation, or you'll bow before Him at the great white throne, and let the great white throne of judgment before you're cast into a priceless eternity in the lake of fire, where you'll burn for everyone. You'll not be able to say that you weren't born. You'll not be able to say, well, nobody told me how to get to heaven because you've been told this morning.
Amen.
You've been told exactly who He was. You've been told exactly who the witnesses is. Listen, we're to bear witness of Him. Who to bear witness? John bear the first witness, and all of us are to bear the next all throughout the rest of our life. Who He is, who bear witness last. Verse number, flip over to the beginning of John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, verse 6 to 8, John said that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. All men. All. I don't know what y'all think the word all means, but all means all to me. All means everybody. I don't know how you can interpret that any other way other than all. Verse number 8 says, he was not that light, capital L, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You know what we're to do? We're to bear witness of that light, capital L. We can't produce our own light. You ever thought about the The heaven, or the sun and the moon, are a perfect example of God. That's why God calls him the Son of Righteousness in Malachi. Jesus is the sun, and we're just the moon. You know, the moon doesn't produce any light itself. All it does is reflect the light of the sun. That's a perfect example of us. We cannot produce any light ourselves. All we can do is reflect the light from the Son of God. That's what you're to do. Verse number 9 now. Verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You can't tell me that everybody doesn't get a chance. I believe what the Word of God says. I take it right at what it says. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We looked at who he is. We look at who bear witness, who he came for. Who did he come for? Verse number 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus came for everybody, Jew and Gentile. Turn with us back to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Listen, don't fall into this. Well, this is an afterthought. No, God knew before the foundation of the world. God knew that he was coming for everybody. Isaiah chapter number 49. Who he came for. Right here. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. Why is that? Because he's the Word of God. Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then said I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom he despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage. We're back over here. He says, listen, he said, I came for Israel, but I also gave thee for a light unto the Gentiles. Who did he come for? Long before he came in the book of Matthew, he in Isaiah's day, he said he was coming both for Jew and Gentile. Amen. This predestined stuff, that some people are predestined for heaven, some are predestined for hell. That's a lie out of hell. No, but God does not want anybody to this morning to die and go to hell. You choose because you continue to reject him. Isaiah says he sent a light unto the Gentiles. Who did he come for? He came for the Jew and Gentile. Who did he come for first? This is no doubt. He came to the Jew first for a reason. Romans chapter number 1 goes back with this. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Romans 1 verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If you're ashamed of God this morning, he's ashamed of you. You want to know whether you're really saved or not? If I got in your face, if I got right up next to you and asked you about your salvation, whether you've really put your faith and trust in Jesus this morning, if you died today, would you go to heaven? You should without a doubt be able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Do you hear that? Before he even mentions this next part, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He came to the Jew first because it was the Jews' responsibility to give out the gospel. It was the Jews' responsibility to take up the service of God. And when they rejected it, when they rejected God, when they rejected that service, it fell on the Gentile to be the ones to pick up the service for God. And the Jew continues this morning to walk in darkness, to walk in unbelief, to reject Jesus Christ. The Jews as a whole do, now there are some saved. But listen, the service of God now has come to the Gentiles, and it is our responsibility. It came to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But he says, to everyone that believeth.
Yes.
This morning, all it takes is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You don't even have to wait for the altar call, man. If God's dealing with you, God's wanting you to be saved, this altar, listen, we can wait for closings. We can wait till he finishes the sermon up. This altar's always open. It's always open. Don't ever be ashamed or afraid. I know I didn't go over it this morning because I just forgot. I knew I was forgetting something. Listen, this altar's always open. Don't be ashamed to come up to this altar. It's more shameful to die in your sins because your pride kept you in that pew this morning. Who did he come for? He came for the Jew and the Gentile. Who did he come? He came for the Jew first, but also for the Greek. And he came to make us sons. I love that. And listen, this is where this Calvinist doctrine, and some of you probably never even heard the term. This is where this Calvinist doctrine comes from. They take these scriptures of predestined and they twist them into something. And I'm trying to warn you this morning because I want you to understand, He didn't predestine you to heaven or hell. He predestined us to become the sons of God. Verse number 12 says in John chapter 1, it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Romans chapter number 8. This is very important because people, it is killing our churches right now, this Calvinist doctrine. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow. See, He knows who's going to get saved. He knows whether you're going to continue to reject Jesus. He knows those things. He wouldn't be God if He didn't. But He still gave you the chance. He still gave you the opportunity. For whom He did foreknow. Here's what they do. And they'll take that scripture right there and they'll twist it. Verse number 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And they'll pull that out and they'll twist it and say, see, He predestined some. No, you got to read it all in context. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He predestinated us to. He didn't predestine you to heaven or hell. You do that by whether you reject Christ or not. He predestinated you that if you do get saved, you're born into the family of God. We talked about this in the Bible study. This is how God... You know there's... this morning, do you know there's three ways to get into a family? There are three ways that you can get into a family. You can be born into a family, you can be adopted into a family, or you can be married into a family. That's the three ways that you get into a family. You know what God does? You know what God does? When we get saved, we are born into the family of God.
Amen.
We're born in, we are sons and daughters of God. But also at that point, He adopts you into the family of God.
Amen.
You're adopted. The Bible talks about whereby we can call Him Abba, Father. We are adopted. One of these days, when we all get to heaven, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb.
we'll be married to Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
We'll be getting into the family of God three ways, all three ways. You'll be into the family of God. I told this, not most people don't even know. Did you know that in a will, that you can leave out your own kids? You can leave out your own kids in a will. But adopted kids, you cannot leave out of a will. You cannot leave your adopted, if you adopt kids, you can write your own kids out of a will. But adopted kids, you cannot write them out of a will. You have to give them something, whether it's in color or not. Your own kids, you can write out. But your adopted kids cannot be written out of a will. Did you know that? Ain't that great to know? At least you may think, well, I'm just the son of God. I've just been born into the family of God. If you've been born again, you've been adopted in. Therefore, you're part of that inheritance. You're getting an inheritance of some kind from the Lord. One of these days, we're going to be married.
Amen.
And we're going to celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb with Krispy Kreme donuts and Maker sandwiches.
Listen, man, it is, He came to make us sons and daughters of God. He came to birth us into His family. He doesn't want you to die and go to hell. He says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, again, what did He predestinate? Us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Them He also called. If you're saved, you're predestined to become a son of God. He's called you. Whom He called? Them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Again, all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God doesn't want us spoiled, but God doesn't want us miserable either. You don't have to walk around miserable. You don't have to walk around with, well, I hope I make it to heaven. You can walk around knowing that you're on your way to heaven. You can walk around knowing. I can put my time and date, November 2000. You may be able to say, June 30th, 2019. I finally put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I got birthed into the family of God. Man, He's not withholding any good thing. Listen, he talks about it. Well, let me just move on. I got to finish this up and close real quick. Let me see. So go back to this John chapter number 1. Let me finish this up and close. John chapter number 1. So we looked at who He was. We looked at who bear witness. We looked at who He came for. Now my question this morning is now, who has, verse number 13, let me read verse number 13 and 14. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of God, nor the will of man, but of God. Which were born not of blood. Doesn't matter about your family history. Doesn't matter that we're not Jew, or you may be one this morning. It does not matter about that. And that's not going to get you into heaven. Just because my kids were born into my family does not mean that they're going to heaven. They have to come by the same way that I have to. They have to put their faith and trust. It's not of your blood, verse number 13, nor the will of the flesh. You say, well, I one time I had this tingling expression all over my body. Mm-mm. It's not about feelings all over your body. It's about whether you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not about your flesh. Nor the will of the flesh. Let me tell you, because if it was up to the flesh, you would not get saved. Because the flesh does not want you to get saved. Your flesh, listen, most of the time we give credit to the devil, but most of the time it's your flesh. It ain't the devil whispering in your ear, stay there when he gets out to call. It's not the devil whispering and telling you, don't go up there. You're good, you're fine, da da da. It's not that. It's just your flesh, because your flesh, it's not its will. Listen, it's against your flesh's will to come up here and be saved. Your flesh doesn't want you to do that. Your flesh is going to drag you into hell, nor the will of man. Now, my will would be to see everybody in here be saved. But the majority of this town right now, even this small town, their will would not be for you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Why? Because the more people are on their way to hell than on their way to heaven. It's not of the will of man, but of God. It's God this morning. It's the Holy Spirit of God that draws you in, convicts you of your sin, and brings you to that place of repentance. Who has to repent this morning? Let me hit a couple places and then I'll be done. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. The end of chapter 1. I'm going to read through because I want you to hear this. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." You see, God's already put it in you to know this morning that there's a God. You can claim to be an atheist. You can claim to reject God. You can claim there is no God. But you have to deny what you know is there. He said, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliceness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding." All these things is what causes you to go to hell. If you don't have understanding, if you don't seek out God, without understanding, covenant breakers. Boy, we eat up with that in our day and time. Nobody, listen, most people make a covenant. Most people make a pact. They'll sign for a house loan. They'll sign up for a car loan. And guess what they do? Oh, well, I can't make the payments. I can't do it anymore. Most of them make covenants with their spouse. What happens? I can't do it no more. Covenant breakers. God says that's a sin. If you make a covenant, if you make a pact, you stand on a marriage altar and you can't work it out, you're breaking a covenant. That is a sin. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to just tell you the truth, and you have to respond in the way that you see fit. It's between you and God. Without natural affection, we see in a bunch of that in our day and time. Without natural affection. Oh my goodness, I don't even like saying it because I don't want my daughters exposed to the garbage. I'm thankful we got a TV, but we don't have it hooked up to nothing but what we can monitor. Because I'm telling you what, the garbage that's on the news alone. Without natural affection, implausible, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's right. They have pleasure in watching that garbage. It makes me sick to think of the stuff going on in public libraries. Some of you have probably seen on the news the junk that they let go on in public libraries. Now, you got to be accepting. And then not only that, now they market it out on the street. They are bold. They're spitting in the face of God. And God says they not only have pleasure in them, but there's also those that have pleasure in them doing it. If you have pleasure in them, if you think, well, who am I to condemn? Who am I to throw the stone? Jesus said, hey, him that has sin, he that's without sin, cast the first stone. It's not about casting stones, it's about telling them the truth. Real love is telling somebody the truth, whether they're going to love you back or not. That's real love. When I stand up and I tell you this is what the Bible says, not what I say, not what the news, not what the media tells you, not what anybody else wants to tell you. The truth is, I love you, and I'm telling you, if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you'll die and go to hell. So continuing on now in chapter 2. "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges another. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing." If you've not put your faith and trust, and you can be, listen, if you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you say, well, that's wickedness over here, but I'm going to tell you, my beer, my alcohol, that's not that bad. You're judging somebody else, and you're condemning yourself.
You're judging somebody else for something else. And you're doing the same thing. You're inexcusable, the Bible says.
Inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest another. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such thing and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You think you're going to escape God's judgment? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? He's long suffering you this morning. I can tell you, I serve a long suffering God. Because when I got in church about July of 2000, I know I didn't get saved until November of 2000. At least September and October that I stayed under conviction. God was dealing with me about my sin, and I refused. My prideful self refused. It took 3 months of preaching and being under conviction before I humbled myself. God is long-suffering. But that doesn't mean he will be to you. He is. Listen, if he gives you two times, that's long-suffering. What he gave me was very long-suffering. But I can't tell you this morning he'll give you that same amount of time. Because he may not. He said he's long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Listen, it's the goodness of God that should draw us in. It's God's goodness that leadeth to us to repentance. The fact that we're sinners, the fact that we are the ones that have committed, not God. God's not done nothing wrong. We have. It's his goodness. The fact that he's offering salvation for free. The fact that he's given us a home in heaven and to live with him eternally. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And the fact that he's holy, we're not. The fact that he's holy, God cannot sin. God cannot sin. He cannot. He's God. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Y'all be thinking, man, how good. I'm telling you, it is the best thing in the world to be saved. There is nothing like it. I can't go describe it to you. If you haven't experienced it for yourself. The goodness of God leadeth to repentance. But after their hardness and impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness of God. Here's one of those words that we don't usually use. Impotent means refusing to repent. But after thy hardness and refusing to repent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. You refuse to repent. It's not what I say. I've read it right from the Bible this morning. Yes. I have read it right from the Bible. One more place. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. We'll finish with these verses this morning. This altar's open. This altar's open. Don't be ashamed. Don't let pride take you to hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you. You know what beseech means? Beseech is an earnest begging. We beseech you as the workers of God this morning. Those of us this morning that are saved, we beseech you. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Well, listen, I made something when I was 5 years old. You want to hold on to that all the way into hell? I tell my daughters, listen, I would rather them make 100 professions and get it settled in their heart than die with one profession and die and go to hell. It's not between me and you. It's between you and God. And if you're not sure this morning, do not listen. Paul that one, to my mind, obviously outside of Jesus and John the Baptist, I think definitely one of the greatest preachers to ever walk this earth. The Apostle Paul says, he says, I've had some that believed in vain. He said that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Listen, there is something. Listen, there are times when people make a profession, they truly did not get saved. Paul had them. He said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Don't come to me and try to say, well, I said this when I was 4 years old, when I was 5 years old. Don't die and go to hell hanging on to something that never changed your life. Verse number 2 says, for he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen. If you've never, maybe you've made a profession, but it never changed you. He says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't hold on to something all the way into hell. Don't hold on to something that never changed your life. Jesus moves in. Just look through the New Testament. Jesus moved into people. Jesus dealt with people. He changed their lives. Has He changed your life this morning? It's time to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. But every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You now for the day and the good preaching this morning. I pray that You would, Lord, the goodness of God lead it to repentance. I pray this morning that You would work in the hearts of people. I pray that You would lead, God, some to that place of repentance, God. And I pray this morning, Lord, that people would put their faith and trust in You before it's eternally too late. And may You get all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.